What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. Here with a full crew today, we got Drew, Ed, Thomas, and Walker. So today we got lots to talk about. We went through a bye week in Formula One, but we've got lots of news, including Aston and Alonso. We have the Chinese GP coming up and all the drama that that brings with the first sprint weekend. Lots to talk about it, but let's get straight into it with the biggest news, I would say, from this past week, which is Alonso locking it in with Aston Martin for at least two more years. This came to as a bit of a surprise to me, not necessarily the fact that he's with Aston, but the fact that the announcement came this early in the season. Did it catch anyone else off guard? Drew?
100%. Yeah, absolutely did. I think, I think at this point in his career, he would have had to have a super sweet deal somewhere else for him to make another move. I don't know how many moves he's made in his career, but a lot is the answer. And so I think that there's, some value into locking him up early for Aston's sake, but I think it was very interesting to see Fernando agree with this. So I don't know what's going on in the dealings behind the scene. I'm sure he was promised almost everything plus the, solar eclipse that we just had. He was promised absolutely everything. So what this is, though, is it's the first domino, right? Like Lewis was the domino preseason, which was absolutely bananas and got everyone in Formula One talking about it. I think this is the next big domino that's going to happen. And as the season progresses, I think we're just going to find more and more drivers that are finding seats earlier and earlier because this domino hit so early. But I think you're bang on, Walker. This was definitely a surprise for the F1 world.
I thought it was a pretty interesting move as well. Just because I think Mercedes was, from what I gathered, was somewhat interested in him, but they were weighing their options. Alonso didn't really want to wait. I think Aston Martin made him a deal he couldn't really refuse. And what Drew said, basically promised him the world. And, his conditions essentially were met. And I think he just decided to stay on with Aston. And from what he was offered at the time, he thought that was his best bet, and it's going to be an interesting next couple of years going forward with Aston Martin and see what he can do.
I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think that it's not just the seat that he got. I think he also got what Lewis was asking for with Mercedes, which is ambassadorship, like a brand ambassador, like post his career, and just like, it adds a little bit more pepper or spice into that actual deal. So at this point, I feel like it's a really good move for Alonso because they have been trying to build the car around him. He is the ace driver. Lance is nowhere to be found. Maybe he's in the wall. You'll never know. But at that point, it's a good deal for him because he's head honcho. And then he gets everything. And then now, as you said, Drew, the second domino has fell. What's the next domino? That's what I'd like to know.
I think, too, he's also looking forward in his career a little bit. Like, I don't think it's just F1. Like, I think he's also looking at what Aston Martin is willing to provide for him in other series outside of this. I don't know if he's going to go back to Le Mans or if he's going to hit up IndyCar, whatever that looks like. But I know Aston Martin is going to be backing him in a big way all the way through. And I think that's kind of more what he's looking for, because I think this is a 1+1 deal, if I remember correctly. I don't know if it's a full 2-year deal. So he's going to be here at least until the end of these regulations, right? And once 2026 happens, and, I'd love to see Aston Martin, especially with their new deal with Honda, as an engine supplier going into the 2026 new regs. I think he might want to stick around to kind of see what that looks like, but who knows? He's going to be like 48 years old or something by the time this all happens. So, I think he's looking for more of what's after F1.
He's retirement planning. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Succession planning.
Yeah.
Succession
planning. And, and I think part of him staying with Aston Martin as well, I think he mentioned it because he had or he worked with Honda before, and that's what he's looking forward to, working with them again and seeing where that's going to lead.
So you bring up a good point, Thomas. Something I've heard recently, and we obviously have Lance there in the second seat, and we're going to see if he stays there, and we can talk about if there's a world where Lance does not have that other seat in Aston Martin. Because one of the stories I heard about was before Alonso secured his seat was that potential open seat in Aston Martin, that it could be a good fit for Yuki, especially with that Honda connection, especially with the sponsorship that comes with it. It would be an interesting fit. Now, obviously, he's not going to have Alonso's seat, but do you think that if Yuki is looking to, you know, we've talked about before, he's smashing his teammates over there at Visa Cash App, and whether or not he gets a chance at the big team, do you think that that second seat at Aston could suit someone like Yuki well? Lots of contemplating faces right now.
For me, it would have to be like, I thought you were asking Thomas specifically, but whatever.
He was squinting into the camera. He was thinking really hard. The AI kicked in.
I think that, you know, for Yuki to have that second seat, there would have to be like a big power move over top of Lawrence Stroll. Like, I think Honda.
Coming in.
Yes. Being like, hey, listen, this is our business now, too. It's not about your son or whatever. But then, like, that's, I don't know. I think that Papa Stroll has a big enough money bags to be like, here's $250 million. Shut up. You know what I mean? And then still, like, secure Lance's seat. Like, I think as long as Lance is still interested in Formula One, he will have a seat. It'll have to be something monstrous towards Lawrence's business in order for that to be in jeopardy in any capacity.
I was just going to say, I don't see Yuki joining Aston Martin just because his son is racing. And what Drew said, as long as Lance has an interest in F1, there's going to be a seat for him, no matter what Honda says. And Lawrence is going to basically say, to Drew's point, here's an X amount of money, and we're going to run my things my way, essentially, my drivers, and be quiet and be an engine supplier that you are.
I mean, like, I see Yuki being in Aston Martin because I have a feeling that Red Bull is going to pass on him.
I can see it too, man. I'm with you. I can see it too.
Like, the mere fact that Lawrence gave, like, I don't know if it's real or if it's rumors, but tried to get Adrian Newey into Aston Martin, like, threw him, like, an exorbitant amount of money to join the team. I mean, he has the money and that's it. Like, he can technically get anyone he wants. But it really depends now on the driver or whoever employee would be like, maybe I should jump on the Aston Martin train, because he's been saying for how many years now that Aston Martin is going to be a championship team. He's going to build it into one. But that's not going to happen until his son leaves the actual team. So we shall see. But I do see Yuki being in Aston Martin.
Well, I think Adrian has been linked to a number of different teams, including Ferrari, Aston Martin as well. So, you know, I think everyone would want a piece of Adrian Newey. Although that being said, the car that he's going to be designing for is going to be significantly different than the current car, in which his designs have absolutely dominated, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what, obviously he's still a very accomplished designer, but going to see how dominant his designs and his philosophies can be post 2026. There's another domino. We talked about Lewis being the first domino, we got Alonso the second domino, now we got a third domino, just almost a bit on an island domino, because Sainz, as he was kind of caught off guard at the beginning of the season, is now kind of stuck because his options have severely, they've gone down essentially by a third, right? So he's lost 30% of his options. So where do we see Sainz going? Because I know there's talk about Audi in 2026, which I'm not sure if he really wants to sit in that purgatory for a year over there at Kick Sauber. There is obviously Red Bull, that second seat, and then there is the opening at Mercedes. Where is the most likely place for him to land right now? Is it Mercedes? Because I think right after the Alonso that confirmation, there were rumors of him doing a 1+1 over at Mercedes as well.
So true. I want to touch on that very briefly. I think that, you know, from what I've read and heard around, the logical step for Mercedes was going the Kimi Antonelli route. So they're in their diligence phase right now because he will be old enough by August 25th this year in order to race for Formula One. So his super license has to come in at a certain age. And by, I think it was August 25th of 2024, that he will be able to race for Mercedes, even as a test driver. And so there are rules against him even driving as like the Pirelli tire test driver, and he needs to have at least one Formula One race under his belt. So there's a lot of stuff that they're doing. But from my understanding, at least at this point, that they're going through their diligence phase on Kimi Antonelli. So let's find Carlos Sainz's seat by a process of elimination. Let's not assume this is where he's going. Let's find out where he's not going. I don't think he's going to Mercedes. I don't think that's the play for him. From the way I saw it, is Alonso was their first immediate shot. And if that didn't happen, which we now know it didn't, Kimi Antonelli was that logical second choice. Now let's go over to Red Bull. You know, from what I saw at the Formula1.com, that Helmut Marko and Christian Horner both said that Checo's not going anywhere unless he does something catastrophic. Like if he keeps driving the way he's driving, that's his seat. And it's his to lose for the rest of the season. It would, like I said, it would have to be something catastrophic to happen before Carlos Sainz would have a shot at that second Red Bull seat. And I really don't see it happening. So that being said, where are we now? Right. So now, you know, that Audi Sauber team, you know, circa 2025, 2026 is now seeming like a pretty decent spot for him, which, you know, was a far C and D choice before, is now becoming a harsh reality for him as these seats get snapped up by other drivers. So that's kind of where I see it going based on the information that I've read and heard. But, you know, who knows? What do you guys got on that? What do you got on that, Thomas?
There's not much to say besides that. Audi, that's what it's looking towards. That's where he's going to go, towards Audi. I really don't see him going towards Kick Sauber. There's essentially nothing else unless something dramatic happens at Mercedes or Red Bull. I think he'll have to sit it out and wait till end of 25, beginning of 26. I don't see any other move that he can possibly make as of right now.
See, I'm torn between Toto Wolff's FOMO and seeing Carlos Sainz in a Silver Arrow. Because the reason why I'm saying FOMO, Toto Wolff had a chance to get Max Verstappen before, and he let that go. Red Bull was able to snatch him up. And he's now at the same crossroads again with Kimi Antonelli. Because if he doesn't give Kimi Antonelli the seat for next year and he gives it to Sainz, then he might lose them again. And who knows, maybe Sergio Perez, as you said, might be like, done, does something catastrophic, and then Red Bull snatches him up too. Who knows? Again, very far-fetched, but I'm looking at it from what has happened in the past for Toto Wolff. As for the side of Sainz, I totally agree with you, Drew, that it is not a place for him to be in a Silver Arrow. Why? Because he'll be another stopgap again once Antonelli be like ready for, let's say, post 2026, then he's going to lose a seat again. So I think where we're looking at it at this point is he really needs to just like either wait it out or kick Sauber it up. And then when it goes into Audi, that's his best, like, best case to prolong his actual career. If not, then he'll pull a Ricardo and be like a marketing bobblehead on the pits and have another drive following season. Walker?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have all summarized it really well. It's kind of like our rock in a hard place for him right now, because it doesn't seem, you know, to your point, Drew, Red Bull seems fairly content with Checo right now. They know what they have in him. He's performing well this season for the most part. He would kind of be a stopgap at Mercedes, maybe for a year, which is why they're pushing for that that 1+1 where they have the option. So it again is a shitty position, a shitty time to be Carlos Sainz, in the fact that you really don't have many options going into the next couple of years, at least not good options. The one good thing for Carlos, I just looked this up because I was curious. Carlos is only, he's going to be turning 30 this year. So he's only 29. Given the longevity of drivers like Lewis, you're seeing Alonso, you know, who have, you know, that would show he potentially has at least another 10 years left. So, you know, it's not like he's coming to the end of his career where he is necessarily has to get into a winning seat championship car right away. But I think he can't languish too long in that mid pack, especially if he's going to somewhere like Sauber and then Audi, because who knows what they're going to look like out of the gate. Who knows, you know, if they're going to have kind of like a Braun kind of entrance into Formula One where they just come in and just like kill it and dominate. By the way, have you guys seen that documentary?
I have, on Netflix? Keanu Reeves. It's fire.
Yeah. Great documentary. Highly recommend it. Or if they just kind of carry on like kick Sauber and have a bunch of 40-second pit stops, like you just don't know what you're going to get with that. So
I think the only other place too is Alpine. You know, like we talked about them being an absolute disaster, but like Alpine is the only other place, but like where are those guys going to go? And like, is that a team you want to get behind right now?
No.
It's a total mess.
It's a mess.
Although, it is a disaster. Although the memes coming out as a result of it are fucking fire.
They're fire. Absolute fire.
I saw one the other day of there's like an old coal train like chugging down. They see some guy like, you know, shoveling coal into the engine, and the race engineer of Alcon saying, okay, it's time to push now. It's time to push. And he's like shoveling shit in. They're absolutely amazing. So can appreciate that for sure. But yeah, no, those boys have nowhere to go either. I mean, if Carlos doesn't have a seat and a prospect right now, those guys are like, you know, Visa Cash App is looking pretty good right now compared to Alpine.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, I think Danny Rick's got the hottest seat in the game right now. Like that's the one everyone's gunning after, which is so sad.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that said, if he does lose it, which, you know, it's not looking great right now, is it someone on the grid that takes it, or does Lawson finally get his shot? TBD, to be determined. We're going to find out a lot about all of this at the next GP. We're coming up to the Chinese Grand Prix, first one in, what is it, 5 years? First one post-pandemic. Right. It's been a while. It's been a minute since we've been over there. I can't even remember what the track is like. Everyone seems to love it. It is the first sprint weekend. And as far as I know, are there any changes to the sprint format compared to last weekend? We tried to figure this out, I think, in February, and we had a fucking terrible time.
Oh,
so for anyone, if anyone just getting, that wants just to getting be confused.
Our head, yes, just getting our head around it. So what we ended up learning was that the Friday was for qualies for the sprint race. Saturday was for the sprint race. Then we had the qualies for the regular race. And then the race was still on Sunday in its entirety. So we ended up just pushing forward the free practices onto Friday, so that it kept it kind of took the abnormal out of the normal. Mm-hmm. So
all right,
we tried to keep it as close to as possible.
Friday a.m. free practice, Friday p.m. sprint qualifying, Saturday a.m. sprint race, Saturday p.m. GP qualifying, and then Sunday is a race.
Yeah, they try to get it back to as normal as possible.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Right. It was so confused.
But that's still only one practice session, right? So you're still only getting one practice session that Friday morning, which I know was a bit of a criticism, but at least you have the one question that we did have was whether they were going to be in Parc Fermé conditions after the sprint qualifying.
Yes.
Still don't know that.
I don't know if that answer's around yet. Yeah, we don't know if that. No.
They're still figuring that out. It's gonna be an FIA is going to do a last minute declaration on that. So we have the sprint race coming up. GP, big weekend. What are we looking forward to most, Thomas?
Looking forward to the race the most. To the squid.
Thanks, man. You're the greatest. Thank you great for insight. Handing out insight in buckets. So.
You're welcome. It's honestly, I like you, what you said, Walker. I don't remember the Chinese GP as well, like the track or anything. So it's going to be very interesting to see the results. Lots of drivers have not been on the track for the past 5 years, so it's definitely going to bring some factors, some different play, some different strategies, and hopefully some different results. It's going to be hopefully not a Max Verstappen win, hopefully someone else. So looking forward to that. Drew.
I'm looking forward to seeing Joe Granu race at his home race. He doesn't get a lot of attention, deservedly so, because he's not that great. But you know what, to have a young gun like that who's been on the grid for a few years now and hasn't been able to race at his home track, I think that's going to be very special for him. The interviews are a lot less cringy than the interviews that they were doing to Yuki Tsunoda before his home race. So if you guys have a moment to jump into F1 TV and kind of check out those interviews with Joe Granu, it kind of gives you a little more insight into him, which is quite interesting. I think that, you know, there's so many drivers on the grid that have never raced here in Formula One. So I think that's going to be kind of very unique. And then you have the old timers, you know, like Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton that have absolutely smashed it on this track in a big way. Bottas did pretty good for himself too, prior to the Chinese Grand Prix being halted a few years back. So there's lots of good stuff to come up here. Obviously, I'm just excited for the race week to be back. Obviously, after a bye week, I get a little itchy for some F1 in my life, right? So that's very exciting. What do you got on that one, Ed?
I'm a little torn on wanting Verstappen to win and not win because it's a fast track, and I'd like to see how he can actually perform on this track this time. But then again, we all know that he's going to win. But who knows?
Those are really the only two options ever, right? It's either Max not going to win. You know, that's kind of...
Or he crashes. Wait, he crashes. Okay, or he breaks the engine. Or breaks the engine. Or whatever. We'll see what happens. But I'd really like to see how the old guard performs. Lewis is going to be pissed off for sure. Maybe we'll see Alonso on the podium. Who knows? Got his new contract and he'd probably be a little bit more inspired to race.
Got that big deal energy.
Big deal energy. Exactly.
I think one of the things I'm looking forward to, obviously, Joe, first home race, I think it's going to be a big deal for him. He's going to have a ton of time to wave to the fans during his pit stops. So that's going to be really nice.
Signing autographs.
Exactly. I did just look this up. So it looks like, let's go back to the sprint weekend format. Let's talk about the Parc Fermé conditions. Apparently there are two Parc Fermé condition, or two Parc Fermés, I guess, as part of the sprint weekend. So they're going to have one going into qualifying, and then for the sprint race, and then one going into qualifying for the GP race. So you will have time to make adjustments in between, in which case I'm actually in favor, because then they can just use the sprint race as kind of a bit of a test as well. So there we have it. Otherwise, yeah, race is going to be great. Looking forward to it. Another weekend. To quote Thomas, I'm looking forward mostly to the race, because race. And the one team that you just touched on, Ed, was tons of insight coming out of this episode. We're just fire.
Well, do you guys even watch Formula One? What are we doing here?
Don't worry, we're the experts.
Yeah.
Going to Mercedes, you know, last week they said that basically, or 2 weeks ago, they said they used the Japanese GP as one big test session, and they're unlocking more secrets. They're getting to know the car more. The potential is there. The performance is coming. Blah, 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 blah. do we expect to see anything significantly competitive from Mercedes this week, or is that just Toto trying to like keep people motivated and just, I guess he can't lose his job, can he? Because he owns part of the team. But where do we see Mercedes coming in this week? Are they going to be anywhere, or is it just going to be another frustrating weekend of trying to find the thin line that this race car operates on?
I think what Toto said is what somebody says when they have no fucking clue about what is happening and how they're going to extract any sort of performance out of that car in the slightest. I think he's shaking in his boots right now. Everybody knows I'm a Mercedes fanboy, but those guys are clueless about getting this car into better shape to be competitive to, I would even argue, at Aston Martin. Like, they're looking like they're getting, well, they, Fernando Alonso looks like he's getting faster. And I don't think that they have the chops at this point to start competing with McLaren, and they are far and away from Ferrari at this point, and Red Bull's a not even going to happen kind of moment. So like, I don't think Toto has enough fuel in the tank in order for them to, or enough runway for the rest of the year. Like, I just think they're that far back. Like, competing against Ferrari is their long shot at this point. And so I think that's where they're gunning for. And I just don't see it. Like, I would argue that they've been moving backwards. So I know that the Chinese Grand Prix is a little bit of a different track than the Japanese. And I think that Mercedes should be a little bit more competitive here. And I better see it. Otherwise, I don't know, I'm going to have to start selling off all my Mercedes gear. This is getting ridiculous at this point.
You might as well start doing now, because they're essentially switching spots right now. Mercedes is becoming Aston Martin, while Aston Martin is becoming Mercedes in the leaderboards, essentially. Like what you said, just Fernando's getting faster. Mercedes is just, they can't get their shit together, which is sad, because they are a good team, but something's just not clicking in that team. They can't get the car right. Lots of troubles. So what you're saying, that competing them, or Mercedes competing with Ferrari, that's a very, very long shot. I do not see that happening at all. At best, they're competing with Aston Martin, in my opinion. McLaren, Ferrari, it's out of their league at this point. Ed?
Yep. Lewis saw the writing on the wall. That's why he left. Like, it's done. It's over. Like, the reign of the Silver Arrows, or former Brown GP, is, the luster is now gone. So, yeah, like, even in the constructors right now, Mercedes is 34 points. The only reason why Aston Martin hasn't leapfrogged Mercedes, because of Lance Stroll. He's still in the wall. That's what happens. So at this point, like, we won't be able to see anything from Mercedes up until the time that they can figure out how can they survive racing with their current suspension setup. How can they maintain neutral feel of the car as they hit the corners. That's what Lewis Hamilton's been, you know, screaming at the top of his lungs into his engineers for the past 2 years, and no one listened. So who knows, maybe Visa Cash App might even overtake Mercedes. Who knows? Could happen.
I feel like Toto's post-race interviews are akin to watching hockey players give post-game interviews. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And we're all Canadian. Totally, like, it's Canadian, yes. Podcast. It's like, you know, 100% worked really hard, head down, kept working, kept skating, you know, really tried to touch the puck a lot, tried to shoot the puck. You know, we're really just out there giving it 110%. Like, he says everything and nothing all at the same time. And it's just, to your point, Drew, like, you just, like, what else do you say?
Yeah.
Attitudes. Like, I don't fucking, like, I don't know. Like, it's just
can't,
like,
bringing that bow. I can't concentrate.
With what everything's that going on with Mercedes, just what he said a couple seasons on Drive to Survive, you know, everyone has a target on their back. man, are those words are coming to bite him in the ass, because Mercedes is not doing really shit well right now. Yeah.
They have no target on their back, though. They're yeah.
No.
They wait. I'm over here, guys. I'm over here. They got nothing.
Yeah. In the kiddies table.
Yeah, I mean, they are a solid fourth constructor on the grid right now.
And that's only because Lance Stroll can't drive. Otherwise, they'd be fifth.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that's true. Fifth. Sorry, you're right. Fifth.
Yeah, they would be.
Sad times at Mercedes and for the hardcore fanboys, many of which are sitting right here. Sad days. What else do we want to touch on? Do we want to talk about some predictions for China? Does it make sense? Do we still like doing predictions, or does it just feel like a futile exercise these days?
It's, I guess, brutal. There's
Carlos. You know,
it's true. Yeah,
there, he could do something. Maybe come in third.
Yeah, and he has been. His consistency? Like, you know, I think his worst result in the last 10 races is like sixth place. If he didn't like DNF for some other reason, like he's been super solid.
Yeah.
Right. So
I think Charles needs a big weekend. Not necessarily so for too. Ferrari, but he needs a big weekend to outdrive Carlos. I think he needs to reestablish himself as the current number one driver, because I can feel, you know, as the weeks go on, and if Carlos becomes more and more dominant, and now there's all this, you know, talk about do they keep the right one, et cetera, et cetera. I think there could be a lot of, it can really fuck with your head. So I think Charles needs a big weekend. Otherwise, he's just going to be eating tubs and tubs of that ice cream he just launched. I don't know if you guys saw it or not.
No. To enlighten me.
Oh, he launched an ice cream brand. Yeah, it's like tubs of ice cream. It's like 400 calories per tub or whatever. It's launched in somewhere, France or something like that. Anyways, go check out the ad. The ad is actually pretty entertaining. They did a good job with the ad.
It's not a joke. It's a real ad.
He's sitting like on a big white background, and they're just like, he's just holding ice cream. Apparently, he loves ice cream.
Okay.
Maybe this is why he hasn't been competing, because he's been too focused on his big ice cream launch.
Yeah.
It's a therapy. Because now he's like, Lewis is coming in as the next driver for next year. Be like, am I still going to be number one driver or no?
Now he knows what
to eat when he's fucking depressed.
Yeah.
It's ice cream. It's not love. It's ice cream. Wait a second. I'm glad that you brought that up, Walker, because I want to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
What if Leclerc shits the bed this entire season and Fred Vasseur is like, maybe we let go of the wrong guy? And
well, that's too late.
Yeah, the contract.
I know. But like, if there was a way for them to get rid of Leclerc and breach of contract whatsoever and keep signs, do you think that's going to happen or no? If they would be able to at least find like a loophole of some sort based on current performance of both drivers.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, Leclerc has to do something.
Actually, it's not worth it. I think they'd rather take the L on the points than like try to pay two drivers not to drive for them.
Yeah. Leclerc has to be seen like luring like young children into like a white paneled van with his ice cream. Like that's what's got to happen, right?
Yeah. He needs to be in like a white panel rape van selling ice cream to children in order for him.
You're going hard for him. What did he do to you?
Nothing.
No, I'm
just saying that in order for Freddie Vasseur and Ferrari to take the financial risk of kicking this guy off the team after already signing him till 2029, he's got the
whole 2029
contract than Verstappen. So
yep.
I don't know. I don't think he's going anywhere, buddy. As much as I'd love to agree with you, Ed, I don't think he's going anywhere, man.
You gotta wish sometimes. Maybe. Who knows?
Wish? Well, what do you have against him? I think that's the real question. Go check the chat. You guys can look at the Instagram.
I have
the link in the show notes, by the way.
Oh, okay. No, I have nothing against him.
Okay, well, there you have it. We'll look forward to the Chinese Grand Prix sprint weekend. Maybe a little ice cream. Go check out Leclerc's reduced calorie ice cream, because why resist, right? Am I right?
Just give it a lick.
Just give it a lick.
I think you should hire me for his marketing efforts.
I think you're right. That's actually pretty good. Although that would probably get him, if he's looking to lose a contract for Ferrari, fucking hire Drew.
I'm a PR and HR nightmare.
Absolute disaster. Boys. Ed wants you to do it because Ed wants to see Carlos back. All right. Shall we end off on a high note?
Let's do it. It's the only one
way
to do it.
Last week? I wasn't here last week. Did you play last week? Name that sponsor just between Drew and Thomas?
I can't, because one of us has to call it and one of us has the answers. So I guess
it could just be more like a trivia thing, I guess.
Yeah. Sure. That's more true or false.
Okay. Ready?
Set. Let's do it.
The first sponsor is Sui. S-U-I. Sui.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
Steak F1 team kicks Sauber, and it is a SaaS company, some sort of software.
Okay.
I'm going to say Steak F1 team because it sounds Chinese as well, and it's probably Chinese sponsored, and I'm going to go with logistics.
I'm going to go left field on this one. Alpine Financial Company.
You're all pretty much wrong. It is. Sui is a first of its kind layer one blockchain and smart contract platform designed to make digital asset ownership fast, private, secure, and accessible.
I'm going to take half points on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
No, half points.
No, SaaS is a little bit, I don't know. This is a platform. I don't know.
Are you giving me SaaS right now? I think that's what I'm getting.
I am giving you SaaS. And they are a sponsor of Red Bull.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
Red Bull. Okay, let's throw it back to the mid-90s. The next sponsor is Kappa.
Ding, ding, ding. They are on Haas. Mm-hmm. No, they're Palm Angels. It won't be Haas. It'll be, let's go with RB. And Kappa is a clothing brand manufacturer, fashion.
Okay.
I'm going to say McLaren, and I was going to say as well, clothing brand, fashion, accessories, jewelry, something like that.
Ferrari, they are a brand that does mainly sporting clothing, specifically in soccer or football.
Very specific, Ed. Thank you very much, but you're all half wrong. Yes, clothing. We know their clothing. They are sponsors of Alpine. Regretfully, probably.
Regret. Yeah. Money not well spent.
No.
Yeah. No.
Imagine how much they're overpaying for that sponsorship right now.
$1 is overpaying for that sponsorship right now.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, last one. So far, I think we're all 0 for 2 so far. Komatsu.
Komatsu is on the RB Cash App car. Mm-hmm. And Komatsu, they make some fucking Japanese knives or something like that.
Japanese knives?
Yeah, said? I'm going knives. Okay. It sounds like a Komatsu. I don't know, man.
Steak Sauber Financial Company, something with finances.
Okay, so Komatsu, I think, is a shipping company. I can't pin
on... That's a funny way of saying logistics, dude.
I don't want to say logistics. I would say Red Bull.
Okay, so Komatsu is a Japanese multinational corporation that manufactures construction, mining, forestry, and military equipment, as well as diesel engines and industrial equipment like press machines, lasers, and thermoelectric generators. There we go.
Wow.
All wrong.
What car are they on?
Williams.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Oh,
God. We are so bad at this. But you know what that proves?
We got one, though.
None of us are cheating and none of us are studying.
Yeah.
We are all just guessing.
Yeah. Just straight up guessing.
Straight up guessing.
Well, boys, I think that's it for this episode of Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. We're going to be back next week recapping the Chinese Grand Prix. Don't forget to hit us up on the Discord channel. Check out our Instagram for late and breaking F1 news.
And rumors.
Don't forget to rate, subscribe, share with a friend, and we'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ciao.